Hello, everybody. Welcome and thank you for joining us for this Destination Wedding and Honeymoon Specialist Association program, the beginning of our 2025 Certified Destination Wedding Ceremony Planner program. This is a certification we've now done. This is the third year, and we're so glad you're with us. Leading us off today is our partner of this program, one of the top wedding planner thought leaders, leaders in general, for wedding planners anywhere in the USA and Canada. Cherie Ronning, you see her slide there, and you also got her her camera on there. Cherie is based in the Pacific Northwest. She's been a professional wedding planner there for many years. She's done hundreds and thousands of ceremonies over her whole career. She also has owned a wedding studio there in that region. She is the founder of Wedding Network USA, which was a networking group for wedding professionals all across the country. She has been one of the most active members of the Association of Bridal Consultants and is one of the winners of their top award for members. And Cherie, I've lost count, but I think you were one of, 20 or 30 recipients of that reward.
Correct.
Yeah. So suffice it to say, we just could not have found a more experienced professional wedding planner expert than having Cherie with us. So as we start today, any questions you've got, if you're on with us live, remember that Q&A window on your screen. If you're watching this video later, you can send your questions to support@dwhsa.com. Last reminder, we're recording today. We'll post the video along with a PDF of Cherie's slides. That will be available tomorrow in that password-protected resources page that we've emailed you about. If you're not sure how to get into that, just send us a note at the support address. All right, Cherie, thank you so much for being with us again this year, and we'll let you get started.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm very excited to be here. And while John didn't mention it, I have retired from the wedding industry. After 30 years, it's a long time to be involved, but I have done hundreds of weddings and spoken at different wedding groups and different other, just excuse me, institutional groups across the country and in Canada and Jamaica and Mexico. So I feel like I know the business pretty darn well. And I want to share with you my expertise in just the basics. I know you're going to get a course on the ceremony itself from Lisa and some others that John has pre-recorded. But I want you to know the real nitty gritty if you're going to get into this. I get messages from different gals and guys that have reached out to me about how to take their business further. And so we're going to discuss the real true basics today and then how you can make that work for your own personal business. So the first thing you have to decide is what kind of service do you want? And why does the client need you? Well, you're an expert in travel and planning. So that says to me that they need to know that if they're going to be going to out of the country for their wedding and reception, then they need to know what resorts are good, who would best handle their kind of business. You'd also need to know what that event place the resort would offer. And so you're going to become their guide to this event. And you need to decide what levels of service you're going to offer. Are you actually going to be on site? Are you just going to help them get their travel and maybe plan a few things for them? And you have to determine how you're going to price those things. Your travel, you already know what you're going to do. But if you're going to do some add-ons, you need to know how you're going to price those and how you're going to present them to the client at the time of your first or initial meeting with them, whether it's online or in person. I also want to point out that traveling and giving, helping to give a wedding and reception at a full service resort, wow, that's just the most fun ever. And you already know the resorts. If you don't, you need to be reaching out to different resorts and talking to them about their wedding packages and what exactly that service recommends that they that they provide for you and your client. Do you need to go there, or can they handle the client once they get there? Of course, many of the resorts are so organized and have their own wedding planner, so to speak, and handles everything for them after the clients arrive. But if you have a complicated group of people, boy, it's really better for them if you're on site and you know all the details of what they want and where things are going. So let's see where we're going next here. So this is stuff that you can plan from your office. And there are a lot of different options here. I just made a list of some of the things that you might not think of that you could do for the client either for free, for a nominal fee, or charge them. So you can assist them with picking their invitations. A lot of people today do everything online, and that can be wonderful. It could also be scary. But if you can work with them to get the wording correct and everything, then that's really a good service to offer. You can offer to address them if that's something that you're comfortable doing. There are many programs that you can use to do that. And I think it adds a great value for the client because they're usually awfully busy now. You can offer to capture all the RSVPs by having the RSVPs, whether they're electronic or on paper, come back to you so that you've got a list of the guests who have RSVP, how many people are coming or not coming, all those details. And then that's another thing that the clients don't have to worry about. You can, if you are comfortable with providing a wedding program for them or their favors, those are things that you can work with a local printer to print those programs. You can buy your supplies to do the favors locally, or you can order things online. Whatever is comfortable for you. I always had a couple of staff people in my office who were younger and they wanted to learn the business. And so they spent a lot of time assembling programs and favors and those kinds of things, but they were going to be there anyway. And that was really a fun thing for them to do. And it was a product that needed to be done. Now, if you're going to travel with the people, of course, you can offer to bring all of those things along so that they don't have to do it. If they're going on their own, you're going to have to deliver them to them at least a week or so ahead of time so that they can make room in their luggage or ship it ahead of time. You could also offer to ship it ahead of time. We're going to talk about timelines today. Timelines really are the savior of any wedding planner. If people know for sure what time they're supposed to be there for photos, for anything, hopefully, there's always, hopefully they'd all participate correctly. But there's always a groomsman or a bridesmaid that doesn't show up when she's supposed to, and she swears she never knew what time she was supposed to be there. So timelines are your friend, and I really encourage you to do those, and we'll discuss them a little bit further. You could also create the welcome packets, whether they're in a cute little gift bag or whatever they're going to be. But you can create a welcome packet that has another copy of the timeline, either for the guest or the bridal party, that maybe has a list of activities that are available, where the ceremony and reception are going to be at the resort, any of those kinds of things that you think would be beneficial for them to know about. Maybe you want to send them golfing, or you want to send them deep sea fishing, or you want to send them to a cenote so they can see that. It's whatever you want to provide for them that's informational, and the resort that you're going to would certainly have all that information for you. And then you become the knowledgeable person in charge that can really help these people, the guests and the bridal party. You can help with the selection of their vendors. If you're doing a wedding locally, and I don't know how many of you might be wanting to do that, but if you live in a city or a smaller town where there are not really professional wedding coordinators, wedding planners, having the ability to help people locally is going to be a big difference. And in that instance, you might be helping them find their own their photographer. You might be helping them find a florist, whatever they need. Oftentimes at the resort, they have a pre-selected list of vendors that you should use, and they're very, very knowledgeable about the resort. They are knowledgeable about where the wedding setup is. So for them, it's just like, Wednesday was a wedding, Friday's a wedding. I don't mean to sound that like they take it for granted. They don't. But for you, if you're using one of the resorts and they recommend a particular photographer, of course you still need to look at their stuff. But having that information from the resort would be wonderful. And speaking of resorts or other locations, you've got to find the right one that suits your client. If you're going to a resort, you've probably been there, and that's what really makes a difference for your clients. When you are talking to them in the beginning, maybe you're just talking to them about travel, and then you can begin to offer your services. So there's lots that you can do to make additional money off of these events. And it's not like you're going to become super wealthy, but you sure can. And it's kind of like added benefits for them, but it's added benefits for you. And we want that's what we're after. Oh, I have a nice big purple polka dot. Well, purple is my favorite color, so I guess I don't remember putting it there. Sorry. Okay, so let's talk about the location. The things that you'll be required to do for your own sanity will be to work with the staff to oversee the setup. Many places have pretty set ideas of how they want things to be. And if it's acceptable to your client, that's great. You're the contact for the staff. We don't want the staff going to the bride and groom or the mother or anybody else. The staff needs to come to you if you are on location. You are the, excuse me, contact for the vendors. The very same thing. A little drink of water for this sore throat. And you are also the contact. The guests are, they don't know anything. They're coming there. Maybe it's, if it's someplace local, maybe they've been, but if it's at one of the resorts, they don't know where anything is. It's like they lose their brain. I don't know what happens, but you're the contact. They're going to come to you. They're going to ask you questions. So you want to be sure you've got everything in your phone, or if you use a little clipboard or a small tablet computer, whatever it is, you need to have all the information with you at all times. You'd be surprised. A bartender might pop in and say, "Hey, do you know if the bride is allergic to lemons?" You need to know these things. Of course, at the location is where the rehearsal, the ceremony, and the reception are going to take place. And depending upon how much service you want to offer, you can assist with all of those. It's really up to you. But if they're using a local minister, it's still kind of nice to have somebody that the bride recognizes and the family recognizes, so that they are comfortable walking to the location and seeing you and, "Oh my goodness, somebody's here that we know and they're in charge. This is wonderful." And a lot of this part really pertains, I mean, it does pertain to any resort, but it also pertains to if you're going to do weddings locally. Venues, even resorts, but mostly venues like a local hotel, we need to know for sure what they're going to provide for your clients. And oftentimes we see that the catering manager or the bridal consultant or even the chef leaves if you've started planning 6 months out and you're on their calendar, and then the next time you call in to talk to Susie, who's the wedding coordinator there, she's already left and gone on to another resort or hotel. So you want to have all these questions answered. Even if you just make a simple checklist, you need to know for sure what's being provided by your location. And if there are any additional costs, more than what they've said, "Oh, well, it's $3,500 to rent this ballroom for 4 hours." You need to know in that, are they setting up a bar? Are they handling the catering, the cake? Do they provide servants, service staff, sorry. They should have tables, chairs, linens, and all that. And they also should do all the setup and cleanup. But that's not always the case. And if you end up at a winery or somewhere doing a wedding, which is wineries are one of my favorite places, you oftentimes have to bring your own crew in to help with the setup and cleanup. They know how to do everything else, and maybe their chef is catering, but do they have the service staff, or are they all just like high school kids that come in for the night? That's not really what your client will want. And so you need to speak with them about that. The other thing that's really difficult, no matter where you are, I don't care what resort or hotel or winery or wedding venue you go to, you need to know if you can see a mock-up of the setup. Everybody has their own vision in their mind, and if your bride and groom, or groom and groom, or bride and bride have one idea and they just set it up cookie cutter like everybody else wants, maybe that's not what your client wants. So let's be sure that they can either see a mock-up, or you can do a drawing of it and present it to them, and that you get there early, or one of your staff gets there early to make sure that that setup is the way that we want it. We don't want your client to come in and start crying right away because they didn't put the cake table where they wanted it. So at the location, some of the things that you can ask them what they will do or not do. Some places don't want to be responsible for handing out the gift bags to the guests. They don't want to have it behind their desk. They don't want to be responsible. So you need to know, will they hand out the gift bags, which would include the timelines and those types of things. Some resorts I've worked at have a team of gals that will assemble the gift bags. They'll put together the table favors. They have really pretty table numbers. Not very many provide a seating chart, and you're not dealing in a resort situation typically with 500 people or 300 people. It's typically, a smaller group. And so a seating chart may or may not be necessary, but people have to know where they're going, and nothing holds things up worse than they don't know where they're supposed to sit. They don't know where they're going. Should they sit at the family table? And then pretty soon you have nine people at one table because they've moved a chair over, and you have five people at another table. We want guests to sit where the bride and groom wanted them to sit, or the wedding party. So a little seating chart, even if it's just one of your gals at the entrance that says, ask for their name. Oh, here, you're at table six, or you're at the beachcomber table, or whatever it is, that will just take away so much frustration for you and the service staff. Nothing is worse than when they come in to serve, and then there's like nine people crowded around a table, and there's no flatware for them, or a plate, or water glass, or anything. So, having a seating chart, making sure that you've got your number of people at each table correct to how it's been set up. And will that location provide a dedicated person for you? If a lot of times at a church or some of the wedding venues, they have a person they call the wedding planner. But typically, they know where the bathrooms are, how to turn the heat or air conditioning on, those types of things. They're always lovely to work with, but they're not a dedicated staff person for you. Usually they let you in the building and they stay around a little bit, and so you know where the lights and everything are, and then they go home, and I don't blame them. They've done their job. You need to know if they're going to provide a person that's kind of like the, gosh, I would like kids to the word that I wanted to say, sorry, a dedicated person who is kind of in charge out of the front to the public. Any questions they have, they come to you. But at least you've got somebody out there kind of guiding the guests into the ceremony, guiding them to the reception. Somebody to just help, especially if you don't have your own help working with you that day. I'm not trying to scare you, but I just want you to know there's a lot of stuff involved. So This really is a serious part of what we do in planning. I've worked with a lot of different vendors that have told me they get to a wedding site and the wedding planner doesn't really n know this important stuff. It takes a lot of time to just let it flow out naturally, but you need to know all of the answers because that's your job. So, if you're at a resort, do they have a preferred vendor list? And do you have to use from them, or do they charge a fee if you bring in your own person? A lot of times I wanted to take my own photographer with me. Not that there weren't great photographers on site, but I knew my photographers, I knew what they could do. And if I could take my own photographer, then we could see and choose the photos. Back in your home city, wherever the bride and groom or the couple live. So that's something to keep in mind. But if they do have their own preferred vendors, just be sure that you get to see a copy of their work, and maybe any recommendations that maybe prior clients have said. Always get a contract in writing. I'm amazed at how many weddings that I would get to, and they would not have a signed contract from the videographer. When he came strolling in jeans and a t-shirt, he didn't understand that in his contract it said, you know, you're supposed to be wearing black pants and a black shirt or whatever it is. Be sure that the clients look at every contract. Now, if they're not paying for the event, if it's a younger couple and maybe mom and dad or grandma is paying for something, the person who puts up the money should be also on the contract and make a deposit and sign the contract. Even if it's just for the cake, I don't want grandmother calling and saying, well, I'm paying for the cake, so I want it to have red roses all over it. And that's not at all what the couple wants. So let's be sure that we're clear about who has the say, who has the money, and who signs the contracts. Be sure to provide your vendor, all of them, and the venue particularly with a guaranteed number of guests. They base their catering on that. Now, if you're working with a separate caterer at a wedding venue that is not a hotel or some type, then the caterer must have these numbers. They have to buy food ahead of time. They have to get everything prepped and ready. So if you at 72 hours out give a guarantee for 80 and only 65 show up, you're going to pay for 80. So the client needs to understand that. They also can't say, which I've had clients in the past, it's going to be 150 people and 210 show up. And the staff is scrambling, the chef is scrambling, there's not enough centerpieces. So, those things are terribly important and something that you really need to be clear with your clients about. Oftentimes, as they're planning, they get so excited about everything that they don't take the serious part seriously. And that's really a serious one. They want to create a vendor timeline. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about those. But in this section, talking about vendors, every vendor has to have a timeline. And that includes the resort and the hotel. You want everybody who's anybody on the staff to know what time things are happening. You can do this in your office for your vendors. And here's the little timeline they should have. It's interesting because DJs will often just put music on and then they leave to go and they go to the bar and get a couple beers or something. That's not what you want to have happen. So we want to have a strict list for the vendors that includes their arrival and departure time. And this isn't something you just email to them. They have to sign it when they receive it and send a copy back to you. It's too important. I've had, in particular, photographers and DJs, because they're coming in from the outside and they don't maybe know the client very well or not at all. DJs, in particular, at outside venues won't bring a table, won't bring a linen. They're not the most professional, but you can get around that by having what you need very clearly spelled out for them so that they are clear themselves, and then they know what you expect of them. You don't expect them to bring a red tablecloth at a formal black and white wedding. So they want to be very clear on the arrival and departure time. If the other thing there is that if it's a DJ or a band and you want the music to go on longer and the bride and groom have approved that, then you could say, okay, well, do you think you could go another 30 minutes? And you know what the cost is, and you add that to their tab for receipt from the who's ever paying for the music. And you will have paid them ahead of time, but you know, maybe you can have cash on hand if you want to do that. Once I arrived at a hotel and the bride decided she wanted to have speakers clear down the hall in the small ballroom where they had set up a bar, she said, "Oh, I didn't think of that." I said, "Well, it was on our checklist and you said it wasn't necessary." "Well, now I want it." And so I had to call the band director and he had to scrounge up speakers and get there and get the wiring run and everything. It was really a big nightmare. And then I had to get payment for them. So, you know, these are all things to talk to your clients with and to talk with the vendors about. Are you going to provide a meal for them? Are you going to provide beverages for them? I would say non-alcoholic be beverages. Sometimes the vendors, especially if it's like, gosh, we had one big wedding where the people who were the string quartet got in line first at the buffet before the bride and groom. I'm like, what do you think you're doing? Well, we need to eat now. Well, you need to eat after the guests eat. So it's not guaranteed that you're going to pay food for them. It is important. And I once remember saying to a mother who said, "Well, I don't want to pay for all your helpers." I said, "Okay, that's fine. I'll just take them to the restaurant across the street and we'll be gone from here for about an hour." Well, that shut her right up and she let me order dinner for them. We didn't order big fancy dinner, but we did order dinner and soda so that they could have a rest and have something to eat. If you're on duty 8 hours, you really need to have a break and you need something to eat. Particularly for the photographers and the musicians, if they're going to take breaks, how many are they going to take? Some musicians will play for 30 minutes, then they want a 15-minute break. Well, how are we going to cover that time? And if it's a big wedding, I used to have a band and a DJ, and they were both set up and they had worked with each other before. And so the minute the band took the break, the DJ started playing. And a lot of people never even noticed that the band had taken a break. If they're going to take a break, you've got to set a time limit. You don't want them gone for 35 minutes out on the street smoking a cigarette and having a drink. 15 minutes and then come back. You know, you've got to have some kind of handle on what everyone's doing. Otherwise, you're going to have a breakdown in communication and you're going to have a breakdown in services. And guess what? They'll all look to you that it's your fault if you're in charge. So here's a little thing about timelines. A specific wedding party timeline. If the girls are going for hair and makeup, that goes on the list. If the guys are going for golf, that goes on the list. Anything from the time they wake up that morning to when the event happens, they need it to be on their card. I've oftentimes condensed these down to about the size of a 3x5 card and printed them out. The guys can carry them in a shirt pocket or in their hip pocket. Gals can carry them in their little fancy bag, but at least they have it. You need to create a specific guest timeline so that the parents and the grandparents and the close friends that are going to be there, they need to know what's going on. And then maybe a nice little sign at the entrance to the venue that says ceremony starts at 6:30 in the such and such ballroom. And then what time they're going to go into dinner. People are like sheep. They need to be led around and know what's happening next because somebody's always lost. Somebody's always can't find the restroom. You've got to have that kind of information available, and all of your staff needs to know that as well. As I say, they will get a lot of questions. A good friend of mine did an outdoor wedding in Portland at a large flower farm. And so people were there, they were asking questions. Well, where do these flowers come from? And all the things that don't have a thing to do with the wedding, but it was outdoors and people were wandering and everybody had questions. And every time somebody asked her a question, she made a little hash mark on the top of her clipboard. And at the end of the day, she called me and she said, 146 times I was interrupted today. That's a lot. And so that's why you really need to have somebody else on staff with you. In the beginning of my planning journey, I did, several hundred weddings at a small local church. And it was me, and then I had a little staff of high school kids that set up the little receiving area and that whatnot, because they were all small weddings. But it was really hard when I kept getting asked questions and I needed to be directing the staff. And so that's when I say, you really can't do a wedding with one person. I don't care how organized the person is, something is going to take you off in a beaten path and you won't be able to get back to the other people that are needing you. So timelines really do help keep you on track and keep the wedding flowing and reception flowing smoothly. You're always going to get somebody who doesn't agree with that. And you just look at them and say, I'm the wedding professional, and this is what the clients and I worked out. And so we would appreciate you following their wishes. It's hard to do that sometimes, especially if it's a bossy aunt or somebody. So if you are going to do weddings in your own hometown or someplace close, I really came up with most of this information the first time I traveled from Portland to California to do a wedding in Palm Springs. Is there going to be, it was an outdoor location. They had, it was like 100 degrees. I said, we have to know if there's lighting, fans, water. Do we have to have electricity out there? The first one I did didn't, the food came from inside the facility, so we didn't worry too much about that. But I've done weddings on the beach and, in a mountain area. I've done weddings in a lot of locations that don't have anything. It's not uncommon, and especially today, couples are saying, well, we don't want the big extravaganza, but we want, 50 people, and we want to helicopter them in, and or by boat. You've got to sort of juggle all those things. And if you're having a caterer come in, they need to know if there's lighting and electricity and refrigeration, and is there a catering kitchen? Some of these parks don't have anything, they've got a faucet, and that's about it. At some locations, particularly private wedding venues, is where we've always had the most problems. They have so many rules and regulations, like noise limitations. What time do we have to cut off the music? The bride and groom think they're going to dance till midnight, and at 9 o'clock, the gal comes out and says, okay, you're at your limit. So we've really learned some of those the hard way, and you've got to ask these questions if that's what you're going to do. Do they have a limit on guest count? I was at a park once and they said, we can't have more than 50 people because it's too damaging to the foliage and the grass and whatnot. So you never know what's going to be the rule, but you need to know what the rules are. One of the toughest ones is what time you have to be out of there and when your rentals have to be out of there. Because of course, if you're doing a non-resort, non-hotel location out at the beach, do you have to have everything taken out that night? For us, working out of the Portland, Oregon area, it's almost 2 hours to the coast. And I've done weddings down there on the beach, and then one was at a Boy Scout location, and another one was at a church camp. But there were no places for people to get dressed. Some of them didn't have restrooms. We had to hire porta potties. And the rental company had to either stay on location or come back to have everything out at midnight. Boy, that really adds cost to your rentals. It's not inexpensive to rent all of this stuff, but sometimes for the client, it's what they want. So the other thing that is a real specific one for me is insurance. I find that mostly in wedding locations. They've got this barn, they've created a wedding venue. They require specific insurance. They require that you provide security. They require that you provide parking valets. They're not going to help people figure out where to park or any of that stuff. That's not their responsibility. So if you're talking to clients and they are going to need something like a location that's, not in a local hotel or local wedding venue, and you need to talk to them about all these things and what those costs might be. And for you, even if normally you can do a wedding with one helper, if it's an outside wedding, I don't care where it is, you need 2 to 5 helpers, depending upon the size. It's a long walk from the ceremony site to the restrooms, or from the ceremony site to where they're going to be eating. And you can only go back and forth so many times without getting pooped out. So make sure you've got help. Site plan and setup. Well, especially in this outdoor environment. But some of the resorts that I have worked at have not been as impressive as others. And as we've gotten further along in the industry, the first probably 10 years that I worked, nobody knew how to do anything, it seemed like. And when I would ask these questions, they were like, "Well, why do we need that?" Well, because we do, So again, if you're going to be doing this yourself, maybe you're still handling and earning revenue from handling the travel for people coming in, the parents and the grandparents and friends. Maybe you're making all of those reservations and after earning some revenue. But this process, I've been to so many places that you walk in and it's just like an empty canvas. I kind of like that because I'm a details person and I like knowing how everything is going to come together. I've done weddings in family backyards that are huge, but they have nothing. And I've always convinced them to use nice porta potties because do you want 45 women in your bathrooms? No, you don't. So here's the thing with any of that kind of situation that's not at a normal resort or hotel that has a ladies' room right down the hall. You want to pre-plan and verify with the couple and the venue manager before the booking. When can all of our rentals arrive? If you're setting up at a vineyard or a flower garden or somewhere, you can't have the rentals arrive at noon and the ceremony's at 4. It's pretty tough. Depends on how many people you bring in, but they don't, the wedding vendors that are coming there don't expect to have to set up their own tent or stage, or the caterers certainly don't want to set up the work tables or the client tables, where's people going, where people are eating. Often you need generators, you need porta potties, you need fans. You've got the ceremony set up, which is a lot different than the reception area. So maybe it's just tables and chairs. Or tapes, not tables, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just chairs. Maybe they have an arch in the front, which the florist will take care of. And maybe they want an aisle runner. Well, I don't encourage it on grass. It's pretty awkward, but you never know what people are going to want. For the reception setup, I mean, you think about walking into a fully set ballroom or resort ballroom, hotel. Those kind of venues. They have staff, they have china, they have linens, they have barware, they have everything. So when you're out in the forest or on the beach, somebody has to set that up. Now, for my situation, I would always pay extra to the venue company because I figured they're doing me a favor by coming out here to set up the tables and the chairs. Then my team would come in and set up the linens, and oftentimes the caterers that I work with would handle setting the tables. They know how they want it to look. I know how the finished product needs to look, and we would plan that out ahead of time. So, if they have their staff there timely, then they could set the tables. That's what usually happens in the hotels and at ballrooms because the service staff comes in. And even though they will set it up and they set it up the same way for every event, I always preset one table. I don't like coffee cups and saucers on the table. Most people at the reception are going to be drinking alcohol. And then if you want coffee, the server will bring it to you. But I just feel like it doesn't add to the table. It's not exactly pretty when they don't have nice cups and saucers. So, those are all things that as you continue on, even at the resorts, you might want to say, this is how I prefer to have the table set up. Have a coffee station where somebody could go get a cup of coffee if you want. But think about the overall table and how it looks with the centerpiece. And are you going to do an interesting napkin fold? What are you going to do? And so, if you're setting up at a resort, many of them are so thrilled to see some new idea. And if you say, here's a table finished. It's got the menu card, it's got the place card, it's got the table sign, number sign. That's the way we want all 10 tables to look. They're happy to have that assistance. And then somebody still needs to go around and double checks. One of my girls said we were at a wedding in a hotel and it was for 300 people. And she said, when I went home, my husband asked me what I did. And she said, I told him I measured silverware. And we all laughed because this was a high ticket wedding. And I made the girls go around with a ruler to double check that all of the flatware was lined up exactly 1 inch from the edge of the table. So you could be as picky as you want or not. I'm just picky. And my absolute mandatory picky is don't try to use the same chairs for the ceremony and the reception. Holy moly, I've had brides say, well, the guests can just bring their chair. No, they can't. You're not going to ask your grandmother or your great grandmother to pick up their chair and carry it to their table. So, besides that, I like to use different kinds of chairs so that the ceremony has maybe a more simple chair, but maybe you're using the bamboo design or the ghost chairs for the reception. But be sure that they don't, I mean, people will complain because, oh, it costs more money. Well, who's going to move all those chairs? Who's going to move 150 chairs? It takes a staff, not just one or two people. And finally, in this whole site plan and setup, what is the plan for inclement weather? On the Oregon coast, it might be sunny and beautiful, and in 30 minutes, it might be raining. It's often that way in some of the vineyards. So you need to have a plan. And plan B either is they have an inside location, you have a giant tent. What is it going to be? And I know that people don't want to pay for a tent when they have this beautiful location, but the bottom line is nobody wants to stand out in the rain and try to eat their dinner. So think about that. And the more that you just think about all these things and make a little checklist for yourself, you'll find that it's not so scary and you really will have a good event. Why they used to just practically kill my vendors and my staff with double checking everything. But if you don't verify everything 1 week out, at least if we check it 2 weeks out, then we still verified it 1 week out because people make mistakes. It's quite easy. I do it on my calendar on my iPhone. I'll put something on the wrong date and it just doesn't even strike me until it's pretty close to when I think the event is. And then I realize, oh gosh, it's not till next week. So make sure that the vendor guests and your venue people all have you on their schedule. I was called in at the last minute on the la a week before the wedding when they found that two weddings had been reset scheduled at the same venue for the same time. And we really had to work some magic to get one of the clients at a newer time. And we did manage to make it work, but boy, it causes a lot of stress. So, again, you'll want to know if there's a venue manager change or a chef change. Do everyone at the venue have their timelines? I mean, it's so nice for the chef and the wait staff to know. I used to go in and, tape them up in the kitchen. It's not that hard. And it's just one more little thing that shows your professional status and that you want everything to go smoothly. I've had so many chefs thank me for, not having anybody screaming at them. And, that only happens when you're not prepared. When you're prepared, you can just about face anything. And one thing that is, especially in off locations, does the client have their wedding license? They can get it 30 days out in Oregon and Washington. I don't know where you are, how long ahead of time they can get it. But I would suggest that if you don't trust them to remember to bring their wedding license, even though you remind them, that you would happily take care of that for them because it's pretty tough. Now, I did a wedding in Mexico many years ago. They forgot their wedding license. And so the minister was just a sweet guy. He went on with the wedding, da da da, pronounced them husband and wife. And when we got back to California, they had to go and have before the judge and have another ceremony and sign the wedding license. That only happens once to you, and then you are over that nervous breakdown, but it does happen. So I just like to point it out. On the ceremony and the reception day, this really is dependent upon the level of service that you're offering. And you can offer to do very little. And maybe that's just included in your price, or you can offer to do a lot. If you've ever been to a wedding, you know what can go wrong. Everything. I've never done a wedding that something didn't go wrong. And I tell you, it's always a surprise. I try to plan for all the things that could go wrong, but the ring bearer doesn't have his pants. The flower girl forgot her baskets. What can you do? How can we solve this in 30 minutes or less? It's a challenge, but the more organized you are, the more double checking you do, then it will make everything easier for the clients, for the families. It's just makes life easier when you're doing that. I always get reviews because I always ask for them. When you are done at the end of the evening, I always have a thank you card ready for the bride and groom and the parents, and thank them for, the service that they allowed us to provide for them. And I hope they enjoyed themselves. And please be sure to go and post a review of our services on a website or any social media that they're comfortable with. But what I will tell you is that we always went above and beyond. Now, I'm not going to say that we spent a lot of money to do that, but I always had people who were wanting desperately young gals to get into the wedding business, and they worked. They didn't get paid the same as my regular crew. They might even work for free. I don't know. I can't remember that now, but always have enough staff that nobody feels stressed out. And the other thing that I always did, or one of my gals did, was after everybody got seated for the reception, we would take drink orders for the bride and groom, the parents and the grandparents, and get that to the bar right away and have somebody deliver them. And people would say to me, "Well, you don't need to do that. Oftentimes, I would take the drinks myself because this grandma who's 77 or whatever she might be, want to get up and walk across the ballroom to where the bar is. No, she'll wait for somebody to ask her if they can get her a glass of wine. So just by giving those little extra touches to people, I oftentimes chose to pin on the boutonnieres because I'm very specific about how they look and that they don't fall down and the pin isn't showing. If you look at somebody's wedding pictures and you see the boutonniere is not on the left side over the heart, you know it's wrong. If you could see the pins, I oftentimes see pictures on Instagram and the groom's boutonniere only had one pin through it, so it's turned upside down and hanging down. Those are little tiny details that make all the difference in the photos and the overall look of the event. And that's really important. So always try to do one step beyond what they think you're going to do. And I always have a little gift for the bride and groom. You don't have to do that. But for me, it was like nice chocolates or something that they told me that they liked. If we were at a vineyard, I always would give them a case of wine. It's just not that hard to do. And the vineyards will work with you if you want to do that. So, something to think about. It makes you stand out. And I can tell you that probably one of the biggest weddings I ever did, the referral came from the father of the groom. He had a young man call me, and the guy said, "My boss said you're the best." I said, "I am. Okay, I'm glad. Who was your boss?" And he told me, and I said, "Oh, I remember that wedding." The guy said, "Well, I was there and I know who you are, but would you be able to do our wedding?" And it turned out to be a fabulous event. And his boss came and I got to visit with him a little bit. So you don't know where a referral's coming from. You just don't. Now, as I'm sucking on the cough drop, sorry, are you overwhelmed? Because this was a lot to take in. For your first few events that you're going to do, you might get stressed out. But if you have your timelines, if you have all your vendors lined up, if you know what's going on, then it gets easier and easier. And I've never done a wedding, even if I didn't like somebody, that I didn't get the sniffles as they walk down the aisle. You're there to be their help, but you're also there to share in their joy. And you leave with a full heart at the end of the event. So remember that your goal is to help create a wonderful event, not to be a waitress or a setup person. I don't want you to do any chores the day and evening of the event. Think about what you can do to help and what you want your crew to do and be specific. So you can contact me, Cherie at CherieRonning.com. Text or talk 360-608-3647. And I am happy to take your questions. I'm happy to give you a private consultation. I'm talking with someone next week who's done some planning and now they want to step out to the next step. I'm happy to help you get through that or create your timelines or, just do those kinds of things because I want you to be successful and I want you to make money. Sometimes people get into the wedding industry, and I'm sure into the travel agency industry, because it sounds like so much fun. Well, it is a job. And so while parts of it can be fun, it is a job, and you need to take it seriously, and you need to make sure that any meeting with the client or at the wedding day itself, you are dressed appropriately, as are your team members, and you go there and you do the job, and then you have fun. So that's it for that. John, you got a few questions?
We do, Cherie. Thank you so much. The great overview of the wedding planning aspect
But so many of us have spent a lot of time doing the travel part. So thank you for giving us some insight there. And I've got some good questions for you here.
Okay.
We'll take two or three for sure. We'll wrap up at the top of the hour. But as we dive into a couple of questions here, remember right there on the screen, jot down that Cherise, as you can tell, it's her direct email address. And she'll be a good resource for you. You know, be gentle because she may get a lot of questions all at once. Send her any questions you have. And if you have questions for us, of course, the support at dwhsa.com address. Sri, Lisa's wondering if you could share a little bit of insight as to how wedding planners are paid. Because on the agent side of things, we get commissions from the travel suppliers like the resorts. And then we'll sometimes, usually, charge a planning fee for a destination wedding on top of the eight of the supplier commissions for the travel. But a lot of us may not really understand how wedding planners get paid.
Sure. It depends on how many services you're offered, of course. But if you're going to travel away from your hometown to Mexico or, excuse me, somewhere else, you need to have a set amount of time, a set amount of dollars that you want to charge for your time for being there. Are they going to pay for your travel? I assume not. You probably can take care of that yourself. If you're doing a wedding locally, a large wedding, and you are doing all of this, it's got to be several thousand dollars. So it has to be, you have to put it in perspective with what the size of the event is, where the location is, how many guests there will be, and how many hours it will take you for the day. Are you going to get there at 8 in the morning and leave at midnight? You know, when I retired 4 years ago, I was charging between $10,000 and $15,000 per wedding because I was doing them all locally.
Okay. Question from Stevie. You know, a lot of times when we work with our couples, we get into disagreements or just differences of opinion about some of the travel related questions. What's the best way to put your flights together? And what time of year might not be smart to go to the Caribbean when the hurricanes might be on the way? Those sorts of questions. If From a wedding planner's perspective, if we have a disagreement about the ceremony side of things with clients, how do wedding planners usually work with their couples if the couples just insist on something about their ceremony, for example, that we know is not going to work, but they are just bent on doing it the way they want to do it?
Well, first of all, you have to really judge the clients. It is very frustrating when somebody has some whack-a-doodle idea of how things should go. But I always gave them a ceremony, and I'm sure Lisa does this, a ceremony planning guide that said, and why? You know, the minister comes in first, this is why. This happens, this is why. And if they want to deviate from that, then you just have to say, okay. Unless you want to, at that point in time, sever a relationship, I think you can always work it out. And it's more about sharing your expertise and sharing your knowledge so that they understand. And you don't say that's wrong. You just say, in my expert opinion, this would flow more easily if we did this, this, and this. And if they say we don't agree, okay. That's what else are you going to do?
Okay. Let's squeeze in one more question. By the way, we had a question about the slides. We are going to post the PDF of Cherie's slides tomorrow. They'll be in that password protected resources page that we've emailed you about. But we'll also be emailing you tomorrow just to let you know when the video is ready. And what I'll do is I'll put a download link in that email too tomorrow. So you'll get it by email tomorrow, and then you can always log into the resources page. Last question right now, so we can wrap up at the top of the hour here. Here's the question. For international travel to an all-inclusive resort or on a cruise ship, where there is an on-site wedding coordinator that the cruise line or the resort company is available and is helping to take care of a lot of the ceremony task on behalf of the supplier for the couple. Are wedding planners needed in those situations? And I've got an idea on that, but Sheree, let me give you the question first.
Wow. Well, I've done lots of weddings where people said, oh, well, we have a wedding coordinator. No, you don't. You know, their expertise is to set up a cookie cutter event. Do you want to trust the outcome of your day to someone you don't know? Or would you rather have me there to make sure that things go the way that we have planned together? I think that just reminding them of your expertise, offering to attend, maybe not on a cruise ship, I don't know. If you got to be away for a week or something, I wouldn't want to do that. But if you're going to a resort, yes, they have people on staff that are wedding planners, but that's not full service wedding planning. That's day of. And that doesn't give them the expertise to know what was really important to you, to your clients. And so I just lay it out. This is what happens if I'm there. This is what happens, you know, if I have staff there. We take care of everything. And I'm not saying the resorts can't do a good job, because, boy, some of them are just fabulous. But there are others that are pretty weak. And, you know, I'm sort of a hard nose about, you're going to have a complicated wedding and reception, you better have professional help. Also, I'd like to apologize for my voice today and that I have a sucking on a cough drop while we're talking. But anyway, thank you for your patience, all of you.
Yeah. Folks, that's a great answer to that. We are going to talk in more detail in one of the later videos about that too. A quick answer is as Sheree outlined, is yes, there are many instances where having you as the wedding planner representing the couple's interest can be a perfect partner for the on-site coordinator, who technically is representing the supplier and not the couple. That's not always how it's presented to the couple, but we'll talk more about that in one of the videos coming up too. So, folks, we want to stop here because we promised an hour. Thank you for being here today. Remember, right there on the screen, any questions you got, especially from the wedding planner's perspective, any questions you want to ask Sheree, reach out to her, please. We'll be back next week with Lisa Sheldon, who's going to talk more about the travel agent perspective with wedding planning. And we'll send you a reminder of the link. But if you look back at your previous emails, you should see the Zoom link to sign up for that session. And then we'll be back with Sheree on October 7th. Sheree Ronning, thank you as always. It's great to do one more of these series with you. We really appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you.